Oh my God. Okay. This was so easy. Who said I love you first? Dimitri.
I follow you.
Deep sea, baby. What?
Yeah.
Wait, what are you actually talking about?
It's story time.
Welcome to Seriously Selfish. I'm your host, Amanda Talagin. Welcome back to Seriously Selfish, you selfish mother beeps. Today we have a very special guest, my husband, Dimitri. Let's just run through a few quick facts about Dimitri, okay? This man has been by my side for 10 years, and he's amazing, he's funny, he's smart, he's loyal. We met in London. We moved to the U.S. together 7 years ago. Wow. And you may have seen him in my series on TikTok, Chopper Chow. You may have also seen him being hilarious and funny and very supportive in some of my other videos. Oh, yeah, and he's my baby daddy. Today, I'm going to be asking you questions from a Q&A that I ran on Instagram, and I want you to answer all of them honestly, truthfully, and if you could overexpose yourself, it would be greatly appreciated.
No problem there.
That's what we want. I didn't let him know any of these questions prior, just so you know. This is straight up. Okay, let's start off with an easy one. What do you do for work?
As of last week, I only have one job.
Congratulations.
Yes, I manage a restaurant in New York City, fine dining restaurant in the city.
Is it considered a Michelin star yet?
No, not yet. It just, as of today, we're considered in the as a good prospect for Michelin, yeah.
Congratulations.
Not yet, but thank you.
Congratulations on being a good prospect.
Thank you.
How did you meet? This really varies. I'm going to say this. I'm convinced that I never met Dimitri prior to the day that I moved into the apartment that we lived in together, because we were roommates. So I'm convinced we met because we were roommates. Dimitri remembers meeting me prior to that.
Yeah, I remember you being so into me.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, what are you actually talking about?
It's story time.
Oh my. Wait, what the hell are you talking about?
I came back from Mykonos. I was all tan with a long beard and a leather jacket.
Gag.
It was rainy outside London streets, Notting Hill. We had a dinner with the LVK boys. And here you were. And I was the new, you know, the newcomer, the fresh blood in the crew. And you were wearing this disgusting hat. Disgusting hat that you probably bought at Zara.
I'm screaming. That was not from Zara. It was from a market. I got it and I thought it was so chic. I was like, this hat is so chic. I loved it.
That is so American. This hat makes me look so chic.
I literally remember putting it on when I got it, and I was like, this hat makes me look so chic.
Yeah. No, it didn't.
Nothing is chic to the French.
But, I mean, there was something very attractive to you. Like, your energy was already very big, I thought. And you were not just like a girl that was around. You know, you were really like, you were really with the homies at the time. Like, there was your homies.
I was busy.
I was like, who's that girl who like is not, you know, flirting with any of these boys? She's good looking, but like she's like they consider her like part of the crew. I guess the romantic version of that is that we met when a girl knocked at my door and I was so high and hungover. In my wife beater, and I opened the door and this girl's here. She's like, hey, I'm here to view the flat. And I was like, come in.
It's true.
And she never left.
Yep. Never left. We've lived together ever since.
We did.
Ever since.
How old were we?
I was 23.
And I was 75.
That's not true. What made you fall in love with your wife?
Oh my God.
La 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 la. La 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 la. What was it? What was it? One thing. Just one thing.
One thing is no. It's multidimensional with Amanda.
Here we go.
It's how you made me feel like I had so much more potential than I thought I did, and that I was not there yet. But you were also the only person to show me where to go. And who you were was just a person that was always down for everything. And although you think you're not, I think you were always very opinionated, but never said unless asked. And I found that so admirable, so pleasant to be around. Like, you would never say anything, but if we asked you, like, what do you think of that? You will always have something to say. Always backed by research. Always, like, very logical. Very non-emotional, you know, like, just super. And, like, very, you had so much taste, so much elegance. Even at the time, like, you were just, it's true, like, you know, you were that young, like, kind of girl, but also, like, so much elegance in you. And just to summarize, like, you were always elevating me. You were always helping me out from the get-go. Like, I remember the first thing I said to you, like, because I was trying to break the ice, and you were a model, and I was trying to kind of get into my modeling career. And I said to you, hey, I'm trying to take some picture for this thing. And you were like, right away, like, dropped everything you did. You're so down to help me. And then I think, you know, like, you were so funny. You still are, by the way, the funniest. You're the funniest person that I've ever met.
What? I appreciate that because I do think I'm fucking hilarious.
You are fucking hilarious. Wow, I'm so hyped right now.
You are? Oh my God, it's true because you haven't been drinking caffeine. Oh my God, okay, this is so easy. Who said I love you first? Dimitri said he loved me. He said he loved me before we were even boyfriend and girlfriend. That's how you asked me to be your girlfriend, by saying that you loved me.
It was me.
Correct. And it was not reciprocated.
It wasn't.
I said, can I please tell you when I actually feel the same way? And he said, sure. And he patiently waited. And then I told you like 2 or 3 months later.
Yep.
That's what happened. That's extremely indicative of our relationship too.
It is.
It's very much so. Dimitri is
always... I follow you.
Deep sea, baby. It's true. It's really true. Dimitri's always been so sure, which this is going to sound bad, but like I have always said, even in my youth, when I was dating a whole bunch of dickweeds, I used to be like, I want a guy who loves me more. And you can take that however you want. I don't give a shit. I stand by this. I feel like when the guy loves the girl more, because women are more maternal, it creates for a more evenness of a more even exchange of love. And so that was also one of the criteria I was looking for, was someone who I felt was so certain. And that was something for me where I was like, he is so certain. And I really enjoyed that because it allowed me the freedom to figure out how I felt, but also know that I, like, you weren't gonna go anywhere. And that was great. I loved that. And it's still the same today, honestly. I know Dimitri speaks French, but his name is obviously Greek. Does he speak Greek too?
Reveals. I do speak Greek, yes. I think not as fluently as, you know, French or Italian, but can definitely order dinner and, you know, chat a little bit.
True.
Yeah. I'm actually on Duolingo trying to learn more Greek right now.
Oh, is that what you're doing on there?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Greek and also improving my Spanish.
I see. Okay, people want to know the clothes, the fashion. Where did you get your sense of style? And where do you shop?
Cool. So let's start by, you know, giving props to the Queen of Queens.
Queen of Queens.
To the Queen.
Appreciate that.
Queen of Fashion, Amanda Taujan.
I'm not.
Who really, really, really helped me refine my wardrobe, as she loves to say. But I would say it started from, you know, just kind of being uncomfortable at school, like not being able to dress the way I wanted in the settings that I was, whether it was, you know, how I grew up, not having much money, but also being in a place where people always dressed exactly the same, everyone. Like, if you dress a little bit different, like, you were picked apart right away. Mm. And my mom kind of, you know, she taught me some really good basics about fashion. Like, you know, it's all in the accessories. Don't wear white socks with a black suit or, like, things like that. And then I think I really, really, really got interested in fashion first when I started making a little bit of money, but also when we went to Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you are actually the only one who was like, hey, you should try this and this could be cool on you.
I love dressing people.
Yeah. Amanda is like, if you want to, you know, if you want to lose your money, just go to any store with Amanda.
It's the truth.
She'll find something for you.
I was like, you need this. Put this on. Try this on. You'll love this. He's always like, oh, I don't know. I'm like, just put it on. Try.
Okay. And I've stole so much of your shit too.
That's true. You do steal my clothes. Because I do like oversized and we share. We do share a lot of things. But where do you get your style inspo from?
Oh, old movies, 90s, 80s movies, big time.
Don't we know
You know that pair of Gucci sunglasses, the pair that I got like for $70 the two pair? I got it from a movie. I can't remember the name. I think it was Hurricane something, or it was Mickey Rourke and Sylvester Stallone in a movie, and Mickey Rourke was wearing those glasses, and I was like, wow, those are so fire.
And then you went on eBay and found them.
I was like trying to find the model, whatever. I did. And yeah, that's main inspiration is that. And then, you know, I try to keep myself updated with, you know, other website, Farfetch, Sense, whatever, that you recommended me. Got to say that too. And kind of mix both. I think it's what gives me always something that even if I don't have much money or like I don't want to spend too much money on, anywhere I go, no matter, you know, how much, you know, who I'm talking with,
mm-hmm.
everybody's like, what is that? Where did you find that? And so, yeah, I shop a little bit of everywhere. Vintage, secondhand, big on secondhand. Yes. And yeah, new designers.
We love to thrift. Hardest part about transitioning to being a dad?
Pooh. Honestly, I feel like I'm still in that transition right now.
Don't you think it's a lifelong transition?
Yeah, I mean,
because like every, like you're always a first time dad. I don't know if you'll relate to this, but I related to this so much when I heard it. And it said that like, even when Jazz is 40, you're still going to be a first time dad. Like I'm still going to be a first time mom because it will be the first time you have a 40-year-old or whatever. So you always have to, like when you have a child, you're basically on this new journey of life where you are always adjusting to firsts, you know?
No, it's a very valid point. I think it's very true. Yeah, I think you'll always be transitioning. But like the first time, like, you know, you have another being that you need to completely care for is like a huge, huge, huge shift. I don't think anything will be harder than that because it's really a part of you that just dies. You know, like there is no more just thinking about you. It's your needs are not coming first. There is no room for you sleeping, you know, past 9 p.m. past 8 p.m. even sleeping past 9 a.m. or 8 p.m. 8 a.m.
He's tired.
Celsius, come on. Kick. And it's just like everything you're whole focus shifts to this little guy. Your relationship changes. Your, I would say also like your goals, your dreams, your relationship with work changes too. Like it's like instantly, and I mean maybe it's just me, but like instantly you kind of become a little bit bigger than life, you know, in the sense of when I go to work, I know there's something more important than work. So I guess the biggest transition was learning how to make that shift and learning how to understand that I'm worth something other than just being a worker or a husband. Yeah. And understanding that I still have value. It's just a different one.
Wow, that's really powerful to hear, like from a male perspective, I think, because like as women, I know I talk to a lot of women who feel that way, where you just kind of feel like you can never give 100% of yourself to anything outside of your child anymore, because that little part of your brain is always thinking about them. And I think there's a common conception that, I won't say misconception because I think it could be true for some but maybe not for others, but that men don't feel that way at all. And I think for us it as women, because I think like it's the bodily experience you have, like being pregnant, having the child, that you feel like it's always a part of your body, you know, that's kind of outside your body.
Yeah.
Because of how much you've given to bring that child into the world. And so to hear you say that you have that same experience of just like your mind, like there's a percentage of your mind that is still always somewhere else, I think that's really interesting. But I do have to call you out for a second, because I think that that's something that's new for you. Because I remember when we, like Jazz was just a few months old, where I would say to you, like, I never forget, like I can never just like forget that I'm a mom. It's like once I became a mom, always in my head I'm like, you're a mom, you're a mom, you're a mom. And you said like when you went back to work, there were times where you kind of could forget. Or yeah. Even when I was pregnant, where you were like, you could kind of like forget, you know, not purposeful, and I didn't take it bad at all. It was just kind of like for him, so it really didn't fully click in, I think, until later.
Took some time,
of course. I think that's part of the transition too, which is like the process of you connecting and really bonding to your fatherhood. I think that takes time, which is why I think sometimes where you are in your transition into fatherhood or parenthood is very different than for me.
I do feel like it took some time for me. Like things needs to happen.
Yeah.
Trauma for a man needs to happen for them to realize, like for them to never forget, you know?
Right.
And I think it happened for me. There's a lot of things that happened within the first 5 months of his, from him being born, where I was like, you know, it took a lot on me for me to survive.
Mm-hmm.
After those 5 months. And after that, it was like, yeah, I'm a dad. Like there's no,
yeah,
I'm not going to the gym and forgetting that I have a kid.
Right.
I'm going to the gym and I know that after that, I'm going to see my kid. So
right.
It's just the way it is.
This leads me to another question, which is, how did you feel when I was experiencing PPD, and how did you show up and support me during that time?
Yeah. Oh, well. It was the first time that I saw the strongest person I know at their weakest point. I've never seen you like this before. You were always being the one showing up for everyone. Always keeping it together. And you've been there for me so many times that very naturally was the first time where I was, you cannot fuck this up. And you have to be there for her the way she's been there for you so many times. So now more than ever, forget about yourself. Forget about what you're going through. This is not about you. This is all about Amanda. And you owe her that much.
Was it hard on you?
Honestly, no. Because I really, like, after, yes. But on the moment, the only thing that was hard is just seeing you like that. You know, like, otherwise. And actually, you know what? I'm sorry that I kind of put a time frame to your PPD. Like, subconsciously, you know, after a while, 6 months or I don't know how long, I was like, it kind of started to shift and I kind of started to experience some sort of, you know, depression and things like that. And I kind of not forgot that you might still be in there, but because you started feeling better and, you know, smiling and just being yourself again, I think I could have supported you for way longer.
I think that's the hardest part about PPD. I think that's the hardest thing. And so many women I talk to, it's the same experience, because it's so easy, well, for the most part, for someone to be there for you when you are so down and out and you are just depressed. The issue is that a lot of women who experience PPD, it's a roller coaster. And people don't know. Like, think about it. When we were in the hospital and even any of my OB appointments, no one ever talked to us about PPD. No one ever said, do you have any preparation in case postpartum depression happens? Do you guys need a pamphlet? Do you need to be educated about this? You know, the only person who asked me how I wanted to be taken care of if I experienced PPD? You. The day after Jazz was born, you looked at me and you said, I know a lot of women experience a big hormonal dip after they have their child. Is there a way that I can support you if that does happen? And I remember looking at him and being like, you're insane. Like, I'm literally fine. Everything's going to be amazing. It's going to be perfect. It's going to be beautiful. But like, I guess just like be there for me. And it's so wild because not 3 days after that, boom, straight, like rock freaking bottom. I felt it like overtake my body. And I remember, did I say to you or you said to me, I think you're depressed?
I don't remember.
I think it was like a mutual, like, I think this is happening, yeah, kind of thing. But looking back now, it's like with no tools and really no awareness or anybody talking to us that this was a possibility, which I do think medical professionals do have an obligation. There's none of that in the big fat folder that you get when you bring your baby home. There's nothing about maternal care and what you could experience after. I think they do have an obligation to talk to you about that. And that's something that I'm very passionate about and why I talk about it so much, because I think it's so scary and the timeline of it is so freaking long for so many that you just feel like you're broken. And I really appreciate that you were educated enough that that was something that you had looked into, because it's true, as a first-time mom and when you're pregnant, there's so much that you're worried about. And look, the last thing you're thinking about is yourself. And you, yeah, really had done that. And I think it shows how supportive you really were.
Well, it's also when you see this child who's in such good health.
Yeah.
He's funny. You know, he's so beautiful, so cute. And, you know, we had built such a beautiful life for ourselves. And it just felt like neither of us could see it.
Yeah.
When I said, are you going to get better? It was also a question to myself of like, are we going to get better here? Like, yeah. Or is this, why can we not, you and I, be grateful for what we have accomplished without any fucking help?
But that's also the craziest part, because that's where so much of the guilt comes from. Like, after your depression starts to lift, then you just feel so guilty because you're like, why wasn't I grateful? But depression has nothing to do with gratitude, and it's genuinely uncontrollable. Do you know what I mean?
That's the worst part, and that's why I really agree with you, with like, professionals should really like put a real pin on this. It's because mental health issues, mm-hmm, are the hardest to combat. There is not really any like cure per se. It's not physical, right? So,
and people don't talk about it.
They don't, but it's so easy to just like get like in that vortex of like bad thoughts, and
yeah,
and it's so hard to get out of it. Like, it's, yeah, so hard to just climb that ladder up and like see the surface and be like, oh, I'm actually okay. No, like the you can go deeper and deeper and deeper and never get out of it.
Okay, wait. Tell us something about your wife that we don't already know.
They know everything. Do they know about your water bottle addiction?
I'm pretty sure I've shared that. Yeah. I'm pretty addicted to water bottles.
Amanda collects water bottles. She always comes every 2 weeks. She's like, oh, you need to check out this new water bottle, and it does that, and the water's filtered, or the straw's that way, so you don't choke, or like always something about a water bottle.
I'm so embarrassed. That is so overexposure.
Just saying.
It's so true. Honestly, it stings because it's true.
Probably they know this already, but it has to be stated here. Amanda is a fucking beast. She would work 8 hours a day, wake up in the morning at 4:30, go work out on a step climber. It doesn't matter what day, if it's raining, snowing, whatever. She is out there fucking killing it every single day.
I appreciate that.
It's true. Like, you're a big inspiration. And for me, at least, like, you know, when I'm like, oh, I'm tired or whatever, and I see you, like, with a 5 kilo
vest.
Yeah, the 5 pound gilet.
15 pound weighted vest.
The 15 pound weighted vest. Going to the gym, and I'm like, like, this has to be said. Amanda's super disciplined, real beast, and I think that's something nobody really knows about you, but me, and your family.
It's true. I don't think. I don't know. You know what? When I was like 12, I learned what HX core was. And my sister and I used to write HX core. Like, we want to be so hardcore, hardcore, hardcore. And I feel like that literally stuck with me. And then my dad used to wake me up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go work out and train before school so that I could be ready for preseason of whatever sport I was playing. And that shit doesn't leave you. Like, it is ingrained in you. And I think that, like, it's a slay. Like, it's a great thing. And I love that I am very, like, go, 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 go. But I also think, like, it's very harmful because I don't ever know when to take a break. I get so burnt out and I don't ever know when to be like, no, I think I should just relax. Like, motherhood has taught me that relaxation is a necessary part, or else I'm just going to, like, turn to dust and ashes. What is relaxing? Actually, you taught me that. Relaxing. You taught me how to relax. That relaxation doesn't mean lazy. Relaxation is a luxury of life. I always saw relaxing as laziness, but like your appreciation for movies, for a night in, it really gave me something, and I appreciate that. So I think that's another way we balance each other out.
You're welcome.
Cheers.
This is a Greek.
Cheers.
We know how to relax.
Thank you so much for doing this with me. It was so nice to have this experience, and I hope that you what?
Left.
I know. I wanted it to feel really weird because this would have been too normal. This keeps you on your toes. This specifically is needed.
Don't.
Dimitri and I are gonna romance is alive. Yeah. No, Dimitri and I are going to do one episode together a month as of now. That's the plan. And I'm so pumped about it because I really loved doing this with you.
Honestly, I had such a ball. I don't know if the Celsius or if it's us.
If you relate to any of this or experienced any of this in your relationship, let us know in the comments. Also, if you have any other questions for Dimitri, we will definitely be doing another Q&A, or even for me. So you can DM me on Instagram or TikTok, and we'll see you next week.
And don't forget to subscribe and share with a friend.
Dimitri wants to say that every single episode. He wants me to say share and subscribe with a friend in every single episode. I think it's so corny, but since you're here once a week, you are allowed to say
subscribe and share with a friend.
Thank you for watching, and don't forget to stay selfish.